community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Mikey's Drive Time on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM in association with Papa John's Pizza in Brentwood. I've got a full studio this afternoon. Hi, boys, how are we doing?
Hello.
Hello there, good afternoon.
This is the I'm going to call you the fitness in mind, lads. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Is that all right? Yeah. Because it is the fit. It's fitness in mind week, isn't it? So, I don't know if your microphone's working there. Can you just tell me?
Hello.
Oh, hello. No. Bish bash bomb.
I can share with this one.
Share with that one.
We shall get nice and close.
There you go. That's fantastic. Look at that. Right, we've got Sam, Scott and Robin in the studio with me this afternoon. And Robin, I can see you brought a little doggy with you.
Yeah, that's Boo.
We'll have a chat about Boo in just a second. But what a gorgeous little animal. Absolutely
she's
fantastic.
A beagle, she is.
Lovely. Make sure it doesn't chew through the wires, by the way.
She's been through that stage.
Right, Scott, Sam, we're going to start off with you. Now, you belong to the Brentwood Leisure Trust and Fitness in Mind. You're one of the mentors there, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I noticed when you came in the studio, you'd done this, if you don't mind me saying, you'd done an OCD thing that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Because my personal thought is that there's an OCD inside everybody. And it's whether it actually takes grip or not. And you said virtually the same sort of thing, because I find myself doing an OCD thing and then would realise and stop it.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was really, really fascinating. Do you have to do that in every doorway you walk in?
I have to do it with everything. It's not just doorways. It can be pouring things, like talking, thinking. I like my thoughts. I have to repeat my thoughts a lot as well.
Oh, really?
Sort of saying that you're not really going to see because it's not a physical act.
No, that's right. So talk me through this. What do you think will happen if you don't do it? Is that the angle, or am I just being ignorant here?
No, well, I mean, as you were saying, like, everyone's probably got some sort of OCD. I think it sort of becomes OCD when it takes over your life.
Yeah.
We all sort of have this tendency to want to be more in control of life than we actually are.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
There's this thing called Skinner's pigeon, where he'd done an experiment with a pigeon.
Right.
And they'd keep giving it food at random intervals.
Mm.
But the pigeon started developing these rituals because it thought, because he was doing these sorts of acts, that it was going to get the food.
And really?
I think we do that. That's why we sort of have different superstitions and things like that. I think with OCD, it kind of takes control. I mean, with mine, like, I'm worried that it's going to alter my reality if I don't do it. No, I know realistically that's not going to happen. Well, I'm pretty certain it's not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I'm worrying about it happening, that might manifest my sort of mannerisms to sort of give off maybe a vibe where people are going to react differently to me, which is going to reinforce that original belief.
Yeah, yeah. Reality is, I'm going to get a little bit deep now, reality is very, very down to the individual person's perception anyway.
Yeah.
Because if you talk to a policeman about a robbery, you'll talk to the first person, I say, yeah, he was 6 foot and he had straight hair. The second person says, yeah, he was 5'3" and he had curly hair.
Yeah. And memory gets rewritten every time you think of it. So if someone was to introduce a hat into the equation,
that's
the other
right.
people would start remembering a hat, even though there was never one to begin with.
That's right. So your perception is changed, and you don't want your reality to change. So that's why you do the thing. This is fascinating. This is absolutely fascinating. Is there any way out of an OCD?
Just to fight it as best you can, really. I see it like a boxing match. If you're getting the punches in, then you can keep getting them punches in. But if you're doing it, then they're getting the punches in, and they keep getting the punches in. So,
yeah. I mean, I've got a friend that has quite severe OCD sometimes, and it depends whether he's stressed as to how bad it gets.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you find that as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite bad today because I've had a really busy day. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Sort of things have been happening, so... You know, it's been more intense, whereas on other days I might be quite on top of it and barely doing it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I think people have a misconception with OCD, as well as lots of other mental health issues, because the media portrays it in a different way.
Yeah, they do.
I've heard people call it obsessive cleaning disorder.
Oh, really?
And I think, wow, you know, like, a lot of it has nothing to do with cleaning whatsoever. Like, OCD is very different to each individual. There'll be a lot of similarities, but genuinely it won't just be one thing.
I was so tuned in with my friend doing it. He only had to do two or three things, and I'd go, chill out, calm, take a seat.
I think you have to be quite patient as well.
You do, because I'd see it straight away, because I'd know the signs. I'd see the early signs. But, you know, this is just one of those things. Depression falls under the mental health problem as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And there's a lot of people, as we know, with Robin Williams, that had just unfortunately passed away recently. Yeah. He had depression problems, and it's the unseen disease, if you like, really. I suppose you could call it a disease.
Definitely, I saw a good post about him actually. It said sometimes people are so sad that they just want to be happy to make other people happy, so they don't feel the way that they do. Mm. And I thought that was quite a deep post about Robin Williams.
Well, a lot of comedians, to be honest with you, a lot of comedians go down this depressing route, which is probably what makes them such a good comedian, because they're trying to get out of themselves.
As we were saying, Stephen Fry's got, I think it's bipolar disorder with psychotic tendencies or something like that. Mm. But, you know, he's a very intelligent and funny man.
Incredibly intelligent.
Einstein had mental health.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah.
Charles Darwin had mental health.
Yeah.
You know, it's more common than people realise. I think there's just such a stigma and lack of awareness that people are afraid to talk out about it.
Hmm. I think you coming on the show like this is really, really important, boys, because this is a thing that you have to push under people's noses. And make them more intelligent than they actually are, because everybody gets around and does their own little daily jobs, and we have to get up at 9 and go to work, and so, and you don't think of somebody else's point of view. And I think all the public are guilty of this. And when somebody does something, you go, oh, because you're not putting yourself in their position anymore. And that's where we have to grow. That's what we have to understand, is their position. Why did they do that, or what are they going through to come out with that? But I mean, how long is this OCD been taking hold of you?
Since I can remember, really. I think I first got diagnosed at 9 years old.
As early as that? Oh my word! But I never realised.
I don't really remember ever being the full ticket, to be honest. So, yeah.
So it. How else does it turn up? Because obviously, I've only ever seen you with the door thing.
Well, it's OCD and something else. I mean, I've got a diagnosis, but I'm not convinced. It's what they say. So I think it could be something else, but you know, they're sort of going together, and that depression and things. But it'll manifest itself in walking through doors. If I'm pouring something, if I'm touching something, if I'm saying something, if I'm thinking something.
Yeah.
Thinking's a really big one.
Really.
But then they're normally in clusters, so I'd repeat my thoughts, then I'd have to repeat my actions.
Yeah.
To coincide with the thoughts.
Yeah.
To sort of make sure that reality doesn't change or alter in a negative way.
Absolutely fascinating conversation, really. Absolutely fascinating. I find this mind-blowing. Now, Scott, I know you're doing a lot of work with independent organisations that are helping people with OCDs and other mental illnesses, aren't you?
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I do a bit, yeah. One such organisation is a recently formed group which does art and drama. Called Loose Screws. There's a sort of a play on words there a bit, but they've recently set up this year, and they've recently set up a group in Pitsea for, as you say, of mental health sufferers and their carers and so forth, and they just try and project a relaxed, calm environment for people to basically enjoy themselves in, really, because obviously social isolation is so difficult to handle.
And is it mainly painting? Because I can understand how that's going to be very, very relaxing.
That's a good question. Drama is sort of the acting.
Yeah.
And art we did a couple of weeks ago was basically just colouring in. Painting you can do, yes, in one form or another. But yeah, just creating little mini men.
Oh really?
Which was quite sweet. I did one of those myself, and that's quite sweet. But yeah, it can be therapeutic. Yeah.
Now I've got quite a few friends that have gone through drama classes as well, and they you know, when you see the old fashioned drama class on TV portrayed, right, you're a tree now blowing in the wind. My friend, I've got friends that have actually gone through that, but they're, that drops your perception. That again, it's that particular area of the brain. It drops your concern about what other people may think, and they find themselves going through sort of like 6 months of that, and they become much better actors because of it. Because you're not. Do you find that's the problem? You're worried about what other people think, and that's.
I think with mental health sufferers, I think they are. Hence why they keep it in a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But as far as this group goes, it's not all about your mental health.
Yeah,
it's about actually enjoying something in the right sort of environment. And you know, we can talk about services, service provision for ages.
Yeah.
But independent groups also have a role to play, such as Loose Screws, Fitness in Mind as well.
Yeah.
And a few others that are out there, and they do need support. And obviously, they are aiming to do the best they possibly can for mental health sufferers.
So, if we've got anybody listening that wants to know where they can actually go, what groups there are about in the local area, even up as far as Southend, where would you suggest?
Put me on the spot a bit. I can certainly say where Loose Screws is. Based at the place in Pitsea, formerly Pitsea Leisure Centre. 1 till 4 in the afternoon every Thursday, certainly for a good while yet, certainly in the next couple of months. And you'll get a very warm welcome.
Well, that's a great place to start. Obviously, once you start going to these groups, you find out through the grapevine as such where other groups are. Also, there's my mother used to have dementia, which I know it comes under the mental health thing. And I saw her deteriorate from being a very functional person into almost non-functional. She didn't go as far as that. Unfortunately, she passed when she was 83. But watching this deterioration and going to the day centres with her, they used to bring, and I know, Robin, this is your part, isn't it? They used to bring a lot of animals in.
Yeah, that would be pets as therapy.
It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing to watch how it affected them and how calm they were afterwards.
Well, the animals don't have any inhibitions as to what they expect from a person.
Yeah.
So they're relaxed around most people, regardless as to their mental health. So mental health stations don't tend to feel so isolated from an animal in the same way they would from a person. So it's like Boo's here with me. She works independently with me. She makes sure I go out.
Right.
At one point, I was a lock-in for a long time, just didn't leave the house.
And for what reason? Was
I suffer with a form of multiple personality.
Okay.
So I don't know who I'm going to be from one minute to the next.
Okay.
And the fact is, the dog is always the dog.
Yeah, that's right.
So
it's a grounding.
It's a constant in my life.
Yeah.
So when my partner goes off to work or I'm left in on my own, the dog will make sure that I eat, because I eat when she tells me to.
Yeah.
She tells me when she wants to go out, so I make sure I go out. She breaks the ice with a lot of people, so she makes eye contact. One of the big things she's been trained, she's a beagle. So the majority of the time, her nose is to the ground and her ears are just closed.
Yeah.
But she's been trained to make eye contact before I do.
Oh, really?
So I really struggle with people as a whole. So she breaks that ice, and then they follow up the lead, and I'm the secondary.
Yeah.
I'm almost an assistant to the dog in that situation.
Oh, really? That's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it gets me by.
No, that's really, really good. That's really, really good.
But we'd like to see more of them. The problem is, a lot of the charities and organisations that are out there don't work with psychological dogs. They don't work with mental health patients. There are a few minor exceptions, and there's psychological assistance dogs, but they're regularly can't fund themselves.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a struggle. But we're looking to rejuvenate and get recognition for service dogs that work with psychological patients, if you like.
Now, this is the first time I've come across the because you hear about guide dogs for the blind, which is quite self-explanatory, obviously. But this is the first time that I've actually had this description of a psychological dog.
Well, see, she's on an exactly 1 meter lead from my waist, and she's attached onto it.
Yeah.
So I always have my personal space.
Yeah.
So even in we've been to crowded places where there'll be thousands of people, events and all sorts, but they will make way for the dog. It's the done thing, if you like.
Yeah.
So generally, she sort of keeps me safe, keeps me sane, for want of a better word. So.
And what about the you say you have multiple personality disorder.
Yeah.
What about the personalities? Do they...
Well, do you know what? Because she's the constant.
Yeah.
It's almost like I've brought her up. And because she's with me constantly, my personality maintains a stable equilibrium with the rest.
Yeah.
So I can be a lot more verbal and tell people what I want, a lot more direct.
Yeah.
Usually I go around, as we were discussing just now, going around to make other people happy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my nature to go out, I take my clothes off my back to help someone.
Yeah, yeah.
But she makes sure I don't. That's basically the way it works. It keeps me on the same level ground with the rest of everybody else.
So it's the founding aspect, it's the grounding
just the
aspect that you
of
actually.
My life.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That is really, really good. And is it a self-funding organisation that
yeah,
gives you the dog?
At the moment. At the moment, she's our primary prodigy. So we're approaching the health boards and all the places that are associated with guide dogs.
Yeah.
To get a framework in place,
right,
so that other people can follow the same guidelines and get a tag and it can be formalised. Because at the moment we're working under the same legislation of the Equalities Act that the guide dogs use, that says they can use reasonable adjustment. And we're perfectly entitled to just as much access as any other service dog.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's no registration body that will work with psychological dogs.
Yeah, I say, this is brand new to me. I never even realised.
So,
I feel really, really ignorant.
I mean, it's not just dogs. I mean, I've worked with other animals. I've worked with monkeys. I've worked with snakes. I spent a lot of time in the States exploring and doing stuff to work it all out. But it can work with any animal. Majority of patients and mental health sufferers already have a pet. It could be a fish. Some people like to sit and watch fish. I started with fish and I moved on to a dog.
Yeah.
Because I had to get out of the house.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Started me off at the start because I had to go down to the aquarist every few weeks to get the bits and supplies, and I'd go down there, I made friends in the fish shop and a social group. So animals can go a long way, regardless as to what species.
Well, it's a proven scientific fact that animals have a very calming effect on humans.
Yeah.
Very, very calming effect.
Yeah.
I used to keep fish. I know exactly. I used to sit there and just look, watch the fish swing up and down the tank. And I used to be really, really calm.
Yeah, it's just something a bit less intense than the television.
Mm.
And well, a bit less constant than a radio.
Well, it is. Any sort of TV, I find the TV nowadays is a little bit aggressive sometimes.
Yeah,
very
loud. Liking.
It is very loud and in your face. And it's almost a propaganda box, as I like to call it.
I don't disagree.
And the other night itself, I turned the TV off and I just sat there. And it was nice. It was so lovely.
Yeah.
I was doing nothing.
And a little fish light in the corner.
Oh, it was gorgeous. It was fantastic. It really was. But I don't think we do that enough. We get so tuned into this, must have that. Let's look at the propaganda
box
all night
long.
This
is the problem. My missus has got so wound up with me, she just leaves the room half the time. I sit there with the lights off and nothing on but my fish light and my dog, and I sit and watch the fish.
See, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. It really is.
This little one in the corner, my son's in the studio too. He's just as bad. He's sitting there with a tablet right now. Electronic devices will end the world. Terminator is on its way.
Well, Scott, Robin and Sam, thank you so much for coming in this afternoon. If you're ever doing anything with the Fitness for Mind boys again, you just please come straight in. You're always welcome on the show. It's been an absolutely fascinating afternoon talking to you. Thank you so much.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.